Oh, hello, Roo. How are you this morning?
No, I'm pretty good, thanks, Stitch. Yeah.
Going all right?
Yeah, it's a silly old Tuesday.
Yeah,
don't get really excited about them when the eyelids open up.
No, they're nothing
Tuesdays.
Can't wait
for them to get over and done with.
Yeah, I agree. But nice day coming up, 27.
Yeah, we'll make the most of it.
Yeah.
Why would you waste an opportunity to have a crack for 24 hours? We've got Tex Walker coming on. Your favourite segment, Married at First Sight update.
Can't wait for that.
Oh, the Angels, we've got an email, Dits. How would you go if Kate had a tattoo on her, somewhere on her body that said, Roger forever?
Yeah. What do you mean, Roger?
That was a poor choice. Nah, the bloke, her ex-boyfriend.
Oh, well, that Roger. I'd just cut that limb off. That would have to come off.
Yeah. Cut the limb off.
Yeah, if it was on her arm, that would go.
Don't joke about things like that, Dits, these days. Hey, I've got
actually, you're right.
Yeah. Will Anderson's going to join us later on. What about this decision of these ISIS, the ISIS members' kids still overseas? Should Scott Morrison allow them to come home, or is it too bad?
Moral dilemma here. We're going to open the phones up for this later on. Scott Morrison saying the parents have put these kids in this position, whereas there are a lot of people saying, nah, come on, you can't put the kids, you can't use them as collateral. Please bring the kids home. So we'll take some calls on that later on.
All right, Dits, let's get fired up and get into it.
Brew and Dits, top three things you need to know.
Oh, yes, it's 6:10 on this Tuesday morning. Roo, the Big W story is a sad one, and it involves us, or it affects us here in South Australia.
Sure does. The distribution centre at Monarto, which is near Murray Bridge, is going to shut down. Over 200 staff there, Dits, which is a massive number of staff to try and fill positions for in that area. That is a big loss, but they're also going to shut down a heap of stores over Australia. I think up to 30 stores are going to close in the next 3 years. So not good news. I guess you can't keep on making a loss. They're expecting a loss of around $80 to $100 million. So Big W just not working for Woolworths, who own them. And I guess they've had to make a very tough call.
All right, let's hear from the workers' union.
There is no doubt it's going to be very hard for many of the workers here to find jobs locally. It's a devastating blow to this region and it's a devastating blow to South Australia.
There he is, Josh Pick from the Workers' Union.
Yeah, that doubles up on Thomas Foods' big fire in that region as well. So they are due for some good news up there.
Hey, moving on, Roo, it's been announced we've just had our hottest March ever on the back of our hottest summer ever. So is this climate change for those the skeptics out there, which I still think I'm one. I still don't understand it and I don't know, but we must be getting warmer.
I guess you're a skeptic like me though, because you're not sure whether it's from human influence or just the world.
Yeah, is it just natural? Was it just happening anyway?
Yeah, she's certainly been hot and dry, and a lot of my mates, old cockies that have been around for a while, farmers that is, saying there ain't going to be any substantial rain until June, Dits. Yeah. And if you don't get rain until June, that means you're probably not going to get a decent crop.
Yeah.
So it might be a tough year.
So Anzac Day coming up in a week or two, and normally that's their barometer, isn't it? They want rain, isn't it, straight after Anzac Day?
They like to get a good solid rain around Anzac Day, and quite common to rain around Anzac Day. So still a few weeks away for Anzac Day. And then if you start getting rains in May, you start getting a little bit nervy. But, so fingers crossed, Ditch, you might have to do a rain dance.
All right. Here's a feel-good story for everyone, Roo. Australia's oldest woman has turned 110. Agnes Kluken is her name, and she says that, her secret is she loves whiskey and she's a chocoholic. So there you go to everyone listening. Yeah. And the funny thing about this story, not only does she like whiskey and she's a chocoholic, but there's a photo of her online this morning, and she said, this is my baby sister, Wilhelmina, who's only 95.
Yeah.
She's sitting there with her
she's
sister.
She's not even triple figures
spring
yet.
Spring chicken.
She's not even triple figures yet.
Baby sister, she says.
You're not even my big sister until you get a letter from the Queen.
That's right.
And you'll be happy to know this, Dits. They mustn't have done their survey down in Port Adelaide or Wakery here.
Right.
Australians are the third best bullshitters in the world.
Only third?
Yeah.
Oh, get out.
No, they must have.
Right. You know,
they
must we've got to work harder at
must
this.
Must have been in the good areas, So.
I wonder who's beating us.
Canadians, number one.
Wow.
And Americans, number two.
Right. Always knew Yanks were full of bulldust.
Exactly right. So
biggest and the best of everything.
There you go.
All right. Well, we'll do our best over the next couple of hours to turn that around.
Yep. That obviously didn't go to Triple M listeners
to this show at all. All right, Ruin Dits here on Triple M. That's what's making news.
What a goal!
Ruin Dits overnight sports.
Crows tickets on sale now at tickettech.com.au.
We fly as one.
The good news continues for the Crows women after the weekend. Ruse superstar Erin Phillips has won her second most valuable player award in 3 years. And Chelsea Randall, for the third time in a row, I'd have this lady in my side any day, most courageous award. Yep. Unbelievable. Yep. So well done to them.
Hey, Dits, just quickly on Erin Phillips. Paul Ruse said on the couch last night that Erin may well be one of our best female athletes in Australian history.
Yep. Well, when you look at what she's done in the WNBL and the WNBA here, WNBL, I mean, she is a worldwide athlete.
They haven't got a name for the most valuable player award with the females yet. Maybe it needs to be the Erin Phillips Award when she retires,
yep,
I think.
Yep, good idea. One day it might be, no doubt about that. Let's look at Port Adelaide for the moment, Roo. Obviously need to replace Jack Watts and Carl Amon.
Yep.
Sam Gray, Jack Trengove, Matty Broadbent, Dougal Howard, Hamish Hartlett, Ollie Wines, all putting their hand up. So a fair selection choice
I'm
there.
I'm going with Dougal Howard to play the third tall defending role, and I'm going for Broadbent or Hartlett. Depends if they think Hartlett's ready to go.
Yeah. All right. No worries. Roo, did you see some of the free kicks at the weekend? I know we can talk about umpiring every week of our lives, but the one that involved James Sicily at Hawthorn, some people have called the worst free kick ever. It was at a crucial time, and the AFL has come out and said, nope, we thought they got it right.
Scott Lysett's was no better, and Mason Cox's report was no better. When you keep tinkering with rules, umpires have to get used to it, and it takes a while for them to get it right. So I think they need to, the hard punches, give them a, give them a free kick, but not soft stuff, Ditch. You can't do that. Otherwise, it'll be, you'll get games decided. As you say, how do you want it? Do you want a grand final decided by a free kick like that? No, thanks.
Now, Roo, what about the footy this weekend? This is incredible. Well, check this round out, everybody.
Yeah, it's turned out good. Crows and Cats Thursday night. That's going to be a belter.
Good start.
Melbourne and Essendon, two sides predicted to be big finalists. They're both zipping two. That's Friday night. Carlton take on Sydney in Melbourne. Carlton might upset the Swans. GWS take on Richmond in Western Sydney. GWS might keep the Tigers losing there. Brisbane take on Port Adelaide in Brisbane. Mm. That'll be hard. Grand final replay in Melbourne, Collingwood v West Coast. And then you got Bulldogs taking on the Gold Coast Suns, who have improved. Hawks take on North Melbourne, and Freo take on St Kilda, who have improved. So
that's a big round of footy.
This will be a great weekend coming up.
That's our look at sport. Just a reminder, you can still get your Crows tickets for Thursday night. Crows and Geelong, tickettech.com.au.
It's his favourite segment. Coming up next, our Married at First Sight update.
Ruined It's here on Triple M, thanks to Distinctive Homes. As we say, very good morning to Alice the Wag.
Good morning.
What's going on maths?
Okay, I cried.
Last night. You can't cry at a reality TV show.
It was so intense. So at the moment, they're doing the ceremonies where they meet up and they decide whether they want to renew their vows and stay together forever.
Renew their vows? What, after getting married a week ago?
Week's been a long 2 months in the house, Dits.
And it's an experiment.
Dits.
2 months.
Yeah. So they say that 2 months in the house is like about a year out of the house.
Oh,
so,
okay.
So
it's
intense.
Like dog years to humans.
They call it a pressure cooker.
Oh, yeah.
Okay, so 2 nights ago, they had two of the ceremonies. So Sausage Lips and Dan have agreed to both give it a go. Ooh. She's going to move to Queensland and they are a couple.
She's moving from Perth to the Gold Coast.
Yes. Which big his mum wasn't happy about, and it's all this big thing. Anyway, so they get up and they do these speeches. So then last night is another two couples, and it's Martha and Michael. We always knew they were going to get together.
Right.
She's a bit selfish. She didn't deserve him, but anyway, he chose her. And then so they get up and they have cue cards and they do a speech to each other saying whether they want to stay or go. And it's like the producers have obviously written it because they say, you know, Roo, I love you so much. You have changed my life in this experiment. Mm. But when I met you, I really didn't like you.
Oh.
And so like the music changes and you think, oh, well, she's about to say like, I'm moving on. But then they go, but I really do love you. And then like they say yes.
So is that last when you cried?
No. Oh, last night, Mark and Ning are on, who are this couple.
Ning.
Mark and Ning.
Ning. That's her name.
Right.
And they have had this really tumultuous relationship where it's been up and down, a bit rocky, and they haven't, they're the only couple that haven't had special cuddles.
Right.
So it's been a bit awkward, and it's actually her that wants them and he didn't.
Oh, right. So, Ning's
hanging out.
Ning wanted to see his nong.
Come on, kids. Come on.
I'm so sorry. So last night, like, everyone can tell they're definitely in love, but they're just, the timing of each other is wrong, and she'll really like him and then he'll like her, and they've just clashed the whole time.
That's the bloke's name.
Right.
Mark. Your name.
Yeah.
Okay. So this is what happened last night, and we think that she has just said to him, I love you. I want to give this a go. I'm willing to move my kids into state for you.
Ning is.
Yeah, let's do this. She's on. Ning's on, right?
Ning's on.
And then this is what Mark said.
Ning, you and I have shared so many unbelievable moments, and sharing them with you has made the last 2 months absolutely incredible.
Perfect.
I came on here to find love, but I haven't found it with you.
Just stop.
Oh.
This is bullshit.
I didn't want to leave last week.
No, you're selfish because you kept me around for another week to get here and to humiliate.
Yeah. So he's like, just dropped her, and you could literally on camera just see her heart go in two.
Yeah.
And she just stormed off and then stood at a fence for ages, and he just stood there looking at her. Mm-hmm. And it was the most awkward thing I've ever seen. And now they're not together anymore.
Right.
Yeah.
So tonight, one more couple has to decide whether they're together, and this has been like the dramatic couple.
What are they like?
Heidi and Mike. She's a bit crazy and he is really manipulative. So together they're like intense. Yeah. Mm. But then Sunday, every single contestant comes together for the reunion, and there's like punch-ons and everything.
Oh.
Is it?
Yes, because they've all cheated with each other, and it's just going to be so intense. I'm so
free for
excited.
Wow.
Yep, that's all my right. report.
Good all update. Right. Good update. Okay. No nong for Ning.
What Mick Moy called it? I married a dickhead. That's what it's called. All right. Hey, in a moment, Roo, this is big. The whole world is going towards electric cars. Now, we know this has been mentioned before. Now there's a serious push. They're saying governments around the world, including ours, Labor is saying if they get in, they're going to start pushing for 50% electric cars within a short space of time. This will change the whole world. We're talking about oil companies and the Middle East and everything. The impact will be unbelievable. Wow. We'll find out more in just a moment. Roo and Ditts on Triple M. Roo and Ditts here on Triple M. Roo, I was watching the TV news services last night, and Bill Shorten has announced that if they're successful in the upcoming election, he wants 50% electric cars by 2030. The sale of new cars must be electric, 50% of them by 2030, which isn't that far away.
No, it's not. It's not at all. And they're even talking about banning sale of petrol vehicles as early as 2025.
Wow. What about the implications right around the world of that? Trevor Long's been talking about this morning. Let's get him on, our technical commentator. Trevor, good morning.
Morning, boys.
Good.
Is this realistic?
Yeah.
No, not realistic at all. Let's be honest. 10, 11 years. To sell 500,000 new cars a year as electric when we're selling 3,000 now, the target doesn't feel realistic to me. But we need a target. This is the problem, right? If we do want to change in some way our approach to energy, whether you're a greenie or not, I'm not a massive greenie, but I see the need for some form of push towards solar and wind and all those things. But if we're going to have that push in both the energy generation as well as the cars themselves, you've got to set a target. So I think it was a stupid target to set in terms of the quantity, but it's a conversation we have to have.
But we had Ross Greenwood on yesterday talking about negative gearing, and he said Labor had a silly policy for negative gearing. What are they doing? Why come up with these ideas if actually
because
not realistic?
They're speaking to a base that really this resonates with, the idea of being environmentally friendly, the idea of actually changing the habits of Australians with petrol vehicles. There's a lot of people that feel that way. I'm not sure it's the Labor base. I'm not sure it's the voting base, especially when you start to realise that there's huge financial implications. So
exactly.
I love electric cars. I'm driving one right now. It's a $50,000 Hyundai. It's great. But the government makes around $12 to $15 billion a year out of fuel excise.
Yep.
So the tax that we pay when we pump the petrol. If there's 50% of new cars, how much of that are they losing in the first year, the second year, and how are they getting that money back? What are the taxes going to be on electric cars? And if you're taxing electric cars, you're not going to sell them because they're already expensive. They need incentives to sell them. There's so many financial questions around this that don't make it smart policy. But it's a genuinely important conversation we have to have about what that target is and when.
Trev, how do you power your car up? Is it done each night? I'm interested to know how many power points there are, places you can actually, you know, stock your car up with power, and how long does it take?
Totally. So there are charging points around the place, you know, shopping centres with them. But do you know what? Like 90% of electric car owners, I just charge it at home when I get home. So yesterday, I had a big day. I drove about 130 kilometres. The battery on the car was down to about 55, 58%. I got home late, about 7:30. I had to get up this morning for the Today Show, 4 o'clock. So there wasn't a whole, it wasn't a long night. I just plugged into the same power point I charged my vacuum cleaner with.
Really?
And in the morning, it was 100%.
Wow.
It cost me, broadly, depending on your rate, it cost me about $2 to refill the car at half.
Really? $2?
It's a good 50 to 30% the price of filling up a petrol car, even if you're using my normal home power. And yes, that's coal generated and all those things, but it's about the cost to me that it's my ongoing savings if I was to own an electric car.
But what about you're driving Sydney to Melbourne, you're low on juice, you pull over and power up your car. Does that take as long as me filling up with petrol, or is it a long process?
I wouldn't do it in this car because there's almost nowhere to fill it up. But I drove a Tesla Model X from Brisbane to Adelaide.
Right.
And we did it over 3.5 days, and we stopped at all the recommended places. They've got what they call superchargers. Now, it took about, at the time, this was 2 years ago, 40 minutes to charge, I think, to 80%, which is all you really need to keep going. There's
it's
new
not real
power
convenient,
generation.
Is it?
No, but there's new ones coming that's about 10 or 15 minutes to get that 80%.
Supercharger.
It's changing fast, this technology, the power generation, the power delivery. So, no, it's not going to be the same as petrol with a 2 minute fill up. But, you know, most people, when you drive from Sydney to Melbourne or Adelaide to Melbourne, you've got to stop to get a coffee. You've got to chill. You stop, revive, survive, right?
Yeah.
That should be a 15 minute stop or a half hour stop, not a 2 minute
enough.
Stop.
Yeah. All right. Thanks so much, Trev. Roo, just as a final comment, Bill Shorten, it's great to come out with these statements, and I'll save the world by doing this. However, has he thought about the fact that the world financial markets rely on a couple of things? One's gold, the other's oil. I mean, the world invests in oil. It'd shut down the whole of the Middle East, like Saudi Arabia. Dubai has become one of the most modern countries in the world, or cities in the world, sorry. Like, this is all... It all revolves around oil. And as Trevor pointed out, our government relies on oil.
There's lots of things
to consider.
So within
10 years, 2030, within 10 years, what, we're going to shut all that down, are we?
Well, I don't know, Dits. I haven't thought about it at all. But there's obviously, there is some upside, you know, in terms of costs of for driving. And so let's say in 20 years, there is going to be some great savings there, isn't there, if they can keep improving it.
Won't happen. In my view, will not happen.
You don't reckon there'll be electric cars?
No, there will be. But
as I just pointed out,
it'll affect the world economy, world markets like you will not believe. There'll be so much resistance to it.
Might be world wars, you reckon?
Could be. They all start about over economics, don't they?
Yeah, they do. All right. Well, ask Tex Walker. He'd be all over the world wars and everything.
We'll go to our expert on oil. Well, he's a Texan.
There you go.
Ruined Dits on Triple M.
Ruined Dits for breakfast. Distinctive Homes. Perfect for your lifestyle. Our house. Your home. It's Crow's co-captain, Tex Walker.
Let's talk about
Tex.
Let's talk about Tex.
Oh, g'day, Tex. Makes a big difference when you win. You've come bounding in this morning. Well done.
Thanks, Dits. Very good win.
Yeah.
I love playing at the SCG.
Do you?
Love it.
Why is that?
I just love the history of the Oval. And
we are a New South Welshman, aren't you?
Yeah, but I was never a really big Sydney fan, like place. I never really liked going to Sydney, too busy.
It's intimidating, Sydney, isn't it?
It is, but now we stay in Hyde Park, and we went down to Double Pay for brekkie.
Double Pay, it is too.
And then we went to Bondi for a swim, and I just love that little coastal area. And then you go to the SCG and play a good game and beat the Swans.
Talk to your uncle.
As a group, I mean.
Yeah, you play well up there. Got a great record up there. And the Crows have actually had a great record there for over 20 years, which doesn't make sense in terms of personnel. If you're trying to, I don't know, scientifically or tactically make sense of that, you know, with players changing Dits, you know, whether I was playing or Darren Jarman's playing or Tex is playing, that should make a difference how you match up on the opposition.
Yeah.
But the Crows, since the 1990s, have won up there.
It's amazing.
It is.
I reckon one of the best games I played up there. Can you remember, I think it was, 2019? Would have been 4 or 5 years ago when Radar come back and took that mark. Radar Riley, Brent Riley.
Yep.
Can you remember that?
Yeah, I can. Yep.
What year was that?
What year
was Sando? I think it was Sando coaching.
Oh, 14, 13, 14 12. 12, 12 that 13 was one of or 14.
Games up there.
Yeah, good win and good to get the 4 points and good for you to get back into a bit of form, Big Tex, and played well, led from the front.
It would have been nice if I could soccer one off the ground and in the goal screen and get it through the goals, not to worry.
And you're not the longest kick in the curd side anymore either. Paul Sedgman's taken that title.
How the bloody hell did that not get in the top three best goals of the week? Baffled me.
Had to be an accident.
What do you mean?
It should be in there. It was a 70-metre goal. It should have been in there. They must have somehow overlooked it.
I said on Twitter that it was about 75 metres because there was a bit of a wind coming into our face on that side of the ground, so that's an even bigger goal.
Well, you're adding 5 metres because it was into the wind.
Well, the wind speed, you take that into consideration.
Yeah, I know.
Someone asked me the other day, the 50-metre lines on the SCG, are they real? Are they real 50s?
Yes.
What do you mean?
Oh, are they definitely 50 metres?
Yep.
Yeah.
They are. Yep. Jeez, someone asked.
No, someone did say that was before we were going to do the Port Carlton game.
Yeah.
Yeah, they'd have to be. Otherwise, they'd be... You'd be in trouble doing that.
Actually, a little story from the game. Buddy Franklin owes me a carton of Ruskies.
Oh, Ruskies?
I had a long shot from outside 50. He said, the only bloke on this ground that can kick that far is me.
You were lining up?
I was lining up and I missed it. And then he was having a set shot and I said, we'll put a carton of beer on it. Actually, no, I heard you like cruisers. No, I heard you like lemon Ruskies, don't you? and I got him. I could see him smirk a little bit, and he messaged me last night and said, I'll send a carton of lemon Ruskies your way.
Nice.
Very nice.
Yeah, good work.
Now, the criticism the week before was about ball movement. Do you reckon you got it right this week?
Yeah, we're not moving the ball with rapid speed, but we're systematically moving it forward and giving ourselves great opportunities. We're having a lot of inside 50s, so... like all teams, you'd always like to do things better, but we just played the way the game sort of unfolded, so we're really happy with the 4 points.
Mm. If you want to learn about ball movement, watch your replay of your women's team on the weekend.
You like that?
Yeah, you can learn from them.
Did actually watch women's footy for the first time.
Chelsea Randall. She'd make your side.
She's a freak.
Courage. Unbelievable. Well,
what about that one where she come across and just double fist?
Amazing. Yeah. More with Tex Walker in just a moment. Thanks to Distinctive Homes. He had a bit of a crack at danger the other day in the big build-up to Thursday's game. We'll ask Tex about that in just a moment.
Ruined Dits for breakfast. Distinctive Homes. Perfect for your lifestyle. Our house. Your home.
Here's Texas!
Flo's co-captain, Tex Walker.
That's where the Rangers gonna be.
Oh, the Tex!
Tex is with us now. Well, I just want to play you a grab of Port coach Ken Hinckley. Just have a listen to this.
Free kick on the weekend that Scott Lysett had paid against him. I actually thought it was a free kick from the other end of the ground from us that must have been paid. One of our players, perhaps in the forward end, had done something wrong because Scotty didn't really do too much wrong. That's not the game that I'd like to watch. Certainly not the game that the players would like to play, I don't think.
Yeah. How have those sorts of rules settled down in the first couple of weeks, Tex?
Well, there's still a few that are unknown. You got the Sicily one on the weekend, which... I think the rule is you can't have a closed fist or you can't
or use an elbow. Forearm. Yep, forearm. You can't. They're calling it unnecessary contact.
It's just like it's a big mistake that the
penalty
for Hawthorn right in front of goal. I don't know. It is a little bit soft.
I mean, do we include the Mason Cox one in this as well?
You can.
Oh, my God.
It was the same thing, Dits, but except they're appealing that one now, and they should, and he should get off.
I guess my question to you is, as a captain, I know, say, co-captain, but you know what I mean, you're a leader, you're a captain in this league. Can you actually ring around and say, as a players' association or something, we need to talk about this, or is there not much you can do?
No, there's not really much you can do. I just think it's a big waste of Collingwood, the AFL's time, especially for Mason Cox.
Mm.
Honestly, we're playing a contact game.
Yeah.
John O'Brien was very vocal on the couch last night, just saying we just got to have a better feel for it. Because I think most people are up for, punches and things like that, medium punches off the ball getting penalised, but they've just got the feel for the game wrong at the moment.
I could count, I'd lose count of that many times where I was watching the ball, running back to my position, trying to cut my angles, and a defender stopped and propped and bumped me, yeah. and I've got fallen over. Mm. Like, it happens all the time. That's exactly what Mason Cox has done to the defender, and he's been reported.
Yep. I think they responded to not doing enough the week before, say when Max Gawn got targeted a lot, and they said, right, we've got to stamp it out, and they went too much the other way this week, didn't they?
That's part of the game.
I know right? it is. Hey, don't
That's
worry.
Part of your
I'm with you,
game.
Mate. I'm with you. Paddy Dangerfield, you had a bit of a crack at him on Channel 7 after the game with BT.
Has he got back? Sloane and I have been trying to get in touch with him about our pub that we're part owners in Adelaide, and we're yet to get a reply, so... Danger, if you're watching, can you reply to Sloaney or I? Thanks, mate.
And has Ooh. He? Did he, did he take it on board or not?
Check me phone. No.
Nothing. Joking.
Has he got back to you?
We might have to get rid of him out of this pub, I think, and just get someone in there that's going to contribute.
Chris Dittmar, would you come into the Amber?
Not in a million years.
Oh, why not? Come on, nah. Ditts.
Why not?
I'll go into a pub down the port.
They're all shut.
Well,
no,
well.
No, they're not.
They are.
The port's thriving.
Oh, it's not thriving, Dits. No.
Come on.
Come Soon
on.
It will be.
We'll sit down and we'll talk about it over golf one day when you finally invite me.
Mm. Hey, Tex, any of the young players pushing to get in? I heard Pahulki went well. Stengel kicked 4. I've also heard Greenwood's going to get a bit fitter.
Yeah, those guys keep pushing their name for selection. And Cam Ellis-Yarman, Riley O'Brien, the boys are in... Well, the difference between last year and this year, we've got healthy guys, they're playing together, they play better footy, and we don't have as many top-ups, which is good for the boys to play consistent
better
footy, a bit of continuity.
So what's going to play this week for the fans out there listening?
Well, we've got our main session after this. So
is he sore?
He's a little bit sore, the big fella. But okay. We'll see how he goes.
Riley
today.
O'Brien played well on the weekend. He could
play.
He
did. Okay. He could come in and play a role easily. So we'll see how the big source goes.
All right. Have you got a gag to leave us with, Tex?
Well, are you going to laugh or you've been a bit
all right,
flat
he's hard
lately?
To please.
Well, if they've got to be good. I can't fake laugh.
Did you hear about the car that crashed in the cemetery?
No.
Police said there were bodies everywhere.
Oh, don't. What? That's awful.
Hey, what are you laughing on the inside again
I
this
am.
Week?
No, I'm laughing on the outside.
Oh, thank you.
Yeah. Getting Geelong off a 5-day break, that's got to be a good thing.
Yeah, oh, we're off 6 days, so an extra 24 hours will be good. They're in good form. We're in good form, so it'll be a good clash.
Yeah, great game. Thursday night at the Adelaide Oval. Thanks for coming in, Tex.
See you, Texan.
Good on you, mate. Tex, thanks to Distinctive Homes. Roo and Ditts here on Triple M. Roo, there's an international incident brewing here. It involves a family who shifted to Syria years ago to go and fight for ISIS. There was an Australian mum, and they had 5 children. And Scott Morrison's been embroiled in this. The grandmother, whose name is Karen Nettleton, has got 3 remaining grandchildren in a camp in northern Syria, and she desperately...
They went there with 5 kids, though, didn't they?
Yeah, they did. They
and
lost 2 along
already
the way.
Died.
Now, I'll explain that in just a moment. But Karen Nettleton, the grandmother, is desperate to get these kids home.
I'm a bit worried about them being in the camp because there's a lot of sickness going around there. Hude's got... a foot injury. She has no feeling in a foot, so it's very difficult for her to get around. And Zainab is 7.5 months pregnant.
All right, so that's the grandmother who's doing the right thing as a grandmother. Let's hear from our Prime Minister, Scott Morrison.
Well, I'm not going to put one Australian life at risk to try and extract people from these dangerous situations. I think it's appalling that Australians have gone and fought against our values. I think it's even more despicable that they put their children in the middle of it.
Many people would have heard of this fella, Roo. He went to work for an Islamic State group. His name is Khalid Sharouf. So he's the father of these children, took them over years ago to fight for ISIS. And as I said, now they've lost their mum, lost their dad, which I'll cover off on in just a moment.
Just the people that would know that name, it's like me. I remember him because he's the bloke that held up the severed head in front of his kid.
Of a soldier. He got
right,
his son to hold it up as well.
About a year ago or something.
All right. Now, Karen Nettleton has employed a lawyer, and this is what he's had to say.
When you're in a zone like that, you need rite of passage. Children's lives are in danger. They can get a rite of passage by simply picking up the telephone. But I'd like Mr. Morrison to honour his word and protect our Australian children and bring our Australian children home to Australia.
So Khalid Sharouf went over to fight for ISIS. took his family with him.
Married an Aussie lady.
Yeah, married an Aussie lady. They go over, and he obviously convinces her that we need to go over and become freedom fighters. So they've fought against us as terrorists. But when I say us, the Western world, right? So everyone will have an opinion on that. He gets his two sons to get involved in the war as well. Now, what's happened during the war is that he and his two sons have been killed. But as you mentioned just moments ago, in the meantime, his son was involved in a video holding the severed head of a soldier.
Mm-hmm.
Graphic scenes there.
So you reckon they he's lost, been radicalised?
Yes. They lost mum along the way. So Tara died through medical circumstances that I'm not too sure about, but she passed away at some stage. The same year she died, Sharif married off his oldest daughter, who was 13, to his best friend, 13 years of age.
But that's what they do.
That's what they do.
That's not pedophilia or anything
That's what they do. So I'm not here to point the finger at their religion.
She's pregnant with her third kid.
Pregnant with her third child. And this is what her grandmother's concerned about right now as well, is that she's already got two toddlers, right? As young as 13, married off, had two babies. She's now 17, this girl, about to have her third child, and they're living in this camp with 72,000 people in the north of Syria. Now, so the moral dilemma here that we face as Australians, and this is where Scott Morrison represents all of us. He says, well, hang on, you went away as a family and your father fights as a terrorist against us, representing a terrorist group. Then there are those like the lawyer, Roo, saying, but hang on, these are kids, these are children, they had no choice. So as Australians, our moral issue here is, do we bring these kids home because they're kids and they were caught up in it, their parents dragged them into this, or do we say, bad luck, your parents took you away, you know, they went over there and joined ISIS and fought against us?
God, it's a no-win situation. I can see Scott Morrison's side and I can see the lawyer's side or the grandmother's side. The grandmother just wants her daughter's kids. And she wants to try and get them back here and sort of clean them up, if that's a fair enough word, or try and get them back to, you know, normal Australian life.
Yeah.
That's what she wants to do.
Mm.
But then you got some people listening right now going, stuff them, I don't want them back here. They could be the next terrorist in Australia.
Mm. So you got Scott Morrison.
You can make a case for both.
We heard Scott Morrison, our Prime Minister, and then we heard the lawyer say, well, hang on, these are children who are just caught up in this. Where do you sit on this, Roo?
Where do I sit? I'm not sure, but I don't want another terrorist attack in Australia, that's for sure. But I'd hate to see kids die like that. Then these camps of 67,000, they're all kids and mums that are getting diseased and dying. It sounds horrible over there.
133353. Do these kids deserve a chance? Do we need to bring these children home? Who, I don't know, on the surface, I think they were dragged into
think?
It. I think they were dragged into it by their father.
Of course they were dragged into it. They didn't have a choice.
Mm. So I think we bring them home, to be honest. And I'm not soft on these sorts of things at all, but I think they're innocent kids.
Are they brainwashed or
probably,
do you not know?
Probably, yeah.
Can Nana fix them?
Hope so. 133353. Nana's been over there twice, by the way, to try and bring them back. She went to Turkey twice and has been unsuccessful. 133353. Are these kids at fault? Do you agree with our Prime Minister? What do you think? 133353. Ruined It's here on Triple M. Ruined It's here on Triple M. Look, if you just tried to call us, please try again. We just had a glitch with our phones, but they're back working now. So please, if you wanted to have your say about this ISIS situation, 133353. Once again, Roo, these are three children stuck in a camp in the northern part of Syria. We're told squalid conditions. I saw some of the pictures last night. There's a lot of disease in the camp, a lot of sickness, a lot of illness. Let's hear from our Prime Minister, Scott Morrison, one more time.
Well, I'm not going to put one Australian life at risk to try and extract people from these dangerous situations. I think it's appalling that Australians have gone and fought against our values. I think it's even more despicable that they put their children in the middle of it.
All right, that's our Prime Minister. Let's go to Peter from Webb Beach. Peter, good morning.
Good day, boys. Look, I just think you can't judge the kids on what the parents may or may not have done. I just think you've got to judge every case on its merit.
Yep.
And be as objective as you can about the way you look at the decisions that are made.
Yeah. All right, good on you, Peter. Thanks so much. Roo, just again, just to remind you of one part of this story, that Khalid Sharif married off his 13-year-old daughter at the time to his best friend. She's now 17. She's already had two children. She's pregnant with a third.
And can't feel her leg.
We're not talking about normal circumstances here.
No, and the father's been killed. But that is normal for them, isn't it?
Father's been killed. Her two brothers have been killed fighting.
And the mum's died from illness.
Mum died from illness as well. So, yeah.
Not a good situation. Let's go to Trot Park. What do you think, Kim?
Good morning, boys. I think those poor children have been through enough. We need to show them the Australian way and show them how much better it is to be an Australian and to give them an opportunity to come and be an Australian with the rest of us.
Good on you,
Kim. Good on you, Kim.
Yep, well done.
Yep. Let's go to Craig Moore. What do you think, Kirk?
Yeah, g'day, Roo. How are you, mate?
I'm good. What do you think?
Yeah, look, my thoughts are exactly the same. My first thoughts were stuff them, leave them where they are. But having thought it through since I saw the news last night, I'm of the same opinion. These kids effectively are Australian. We have an obligation to look after them. They've done nothing wrong here against us. Give them a go.
All right. Thanks, Kirk.
Thanks, Kirk. Let's go to Happy Valley. G'day, Rod. What do you think?
Yeah, I'm just confused here. I'm wondering why are we even discussing jeopardising the lives of millions of Australians to possibly bring home a couple of terrorists? Like, I know they're kids and I know it's tragic and I understand that, but what, why are we even risking the lives of all of us to bring home for a couple of kids? I don't get it.
All right. Thanks, Rod. Yep. So Scott Morrison's kind of saying the same thing, really, isn't he?
Let's go to Engle Farm. What do you think, Jason?
I think we should bring the kids back, buddy. I really do, because these kids have got no idea between what's right and wrong. How old are these kids? I mean,
the oldest is 17. The oldest is 17, and then, two, she's got a younger sister and a younger brother, yeah.
Right.
So 17, they know what's going on.
Well,
she didn't at 13, though. When she was married though, Roo, at 13, sorry to talk over there, Jason. Sorry, go on.
Yeah, these kids have got no idea what's right and wrong. They're only doing what their parents are telling them to do. Well, with their father, and now the father's dead.
Gee, it's
just not right. It's totally un-Australian.
It's not right.
What would you do if it was your kid?
Nothing about this is right, is it, Jason?
No, mate, not a damn thing.
And that's why it's hard to predict what's going on in a 13-year-old girl's mind who's married to dad's best mate, had two kids, is crook. You know, like,
it's not your normal.
Let's go to Heathall. G'day, Renee.
Hey, I have to admit, I agree with everybody else that we've got to keep our sense of Australian mateship, and it's not right as a country to start making decisions just because someone's done something that we don't like to say, no, you're out. I mean, there's lots of people in this country who, not the same thing, but have done some pretty horrible things. We don't go, oh, sorry, didn't like that, you're out.
This is going to divide Australia if you threw it open, I reckon.
No doubt about that. Look, I don't know what's right, what's
wrong.
I'm
actually quite surprised that 83% of our callers here and a lot more online that we didn't put their air said are saying bring them home. Yeah. I thought it would have been closer to 50-50, to be honest.
Yeah.
But I can see both sides of the story, and it's just not a good situation. It's a no-win, and, you know, it's not good at it.
Tough discussion. It really is. Not far away from the Angels joining us here, Ruined It's on Triple M.
Ladies,
Ruined Dits for breakfast on Triple M.
We thought you girls were sugar and spice and all things nice.
Ruined Dits, Angels.
Good morning, Angels.
Good morning, Ruined Dits.
Batesy, Ange, and Alice the Wag, and Roo, we've received an email here.
Yes.
This is from someone who I'll call L. Her name starts with L, I won't say. She wants to be anonymous. Alice, what is our email address?
Roo and Dits.
Yeah.
@triplem.com.au.
Right. Okay.
Pretty easy
now,
to remember.
Elle says, if you're in a long-term committed relationship with your partner, would you be upset if they had a tattoo of a woman's or man's name, not yours, that they were previously in a relationship with in a prominent place on their body, for example, their arm, and it's not been removed, and they do not feel it needs to be removed due to it being the past? Basically a tattoo where you have to look at it every day, whether you're in bed or whether they're wearing tank tops and singlets and things like that, and other people can see it as well. Batesy, is that an issue?
I think I'd probably have a bit of a problem with it. Probably not in the beginning, but as you get more serious, and then, like, what happens if you end up together forever, and, like, kids and then the kids are asking who that woman's name is, like, I just think I'd feel a bit off about it, I have to be honest.
All right. Okay. Ange?
I agree. I'd be just making them just, cut that off. Laser it, cut it, whatever. There's no need to
change
that
the name.
No, it's all about me. It's all about me.
Rue, what can you do with a tattoo?
Yeah, you can go over it.
Yeah, you can have laser removed.
You can get it removed or you can change the name. You can do heaps of things with it.
I say it hurts a lot, doesn't it, to get it removed?
Breaking up with me would hurt more.
Yeah. Oh! Batesy, very good. Yeah. Very good. Alice the Wag.
The only way that they can keep it is if they keep the name and then you add on to it. So it's like, it says like Rue is a massive mole or something.
Oh my God.
But I just don't, I just like,
oh my God.
Yeah.
But you just don't want that constant reminder. Like, yes, you know they have exes. Yes, the past is the past and you can't control that. But to have that constant reminder, especially when you're probably like having special cuddles or like just sitting on the couch and you look over and you just see that person's name,
yeah.
I would hate it.
Yeah, you don't need that. I think you get it switched for sure. No argue, no discussion on this one for me, Dits. No. Get rid of it.
Yeah, I think so. Now, Rue, tell us about this story about picking the gender of your kids.
Yeah, Australian families are heading overseas and paying $20,000 just to be able to get the gender of their baby that they want because it's illegal to do it here. You can also take it a lot further and get the eye colour, the hair colour, the skin colour, all that sort of stuff. But I think that's way over the top. But people are going overseas to choose the gender of their baby and paying $20,000 just to guarantee that, they get a boy or they get a girl. Do you agree with it, girls?
I think that there's a point where we do take it a little bit too far. And I just think I have a friend who has three boys and she really wants a girl, but she's too scared to try for the fourth. And I can understand it, but I think at the end of the day,
when you have your fourth, different car.
Yeah.
Need a seven-seater.
It's a whole big change. But I just think there's a point where it was meant to be how it's played out. And I just don't know if you'd want to risk it and pay that money. I just don't know.
What about you, Ange?
I prefer not to mess with any of that stuff. Like what's meant to be is what's meant to be. But I do have a friend that had four boys and she really wanted another one. And she wanted a girl. She's always wanted a girl. And so I think she did actually go overseas and have that done. Yeah, yeah.
And she got a girl?
Yeah, she got a girl.
Wow. So she's done this?
Yeah, she's done it. So so they're happy and I guess each to their own. And I guess when you've got four and you want one more, you want to make sure it's not another boy.
Do they just
I don't know too much detail, but yeah.
I presume they just go in and find the egg and
Sure what they do, but I don't know. I just feel like there'd be too much risk. I'd be scared something was going to go wrong and I just feel like not messing with Mother Nature. You just got to let it be when it's got to be.
Pretty clever these days, though, aren't they? What do you think, Work?
I think if it's the first couple, just go with nature.
Yep.
But then I totally understand if you have had like five boys and you want a girl, then they maybe should make like a technical rule, like you have to have had a certain number of kids, like
two.
A pie graph or something.
A really technical pie graph.
What? Oh, your kids. Four kids.
A pie graph. Did you want to comment on that?
God. No, I'm just weird at all. What do you want? What's a technical pie graph?
Like, do you know what a pie graph is?
Oh, my God.
Yeah, you're not healthy. Okay, so it's one of those circles, and so you colour it in, like, pink and blue.
Right.
Yes. Oh, my God. And what if too much is pink
too
or too much
is pink. Blue? Yeah, so if you've, like...
That's not sounding real technical, I have to say.
Keep going with this, Wag.
So if it's like full of pink, you should be allowed to have some
blue
in there. Yeah. Mm. But if you have...
too much blue, you can have a little bit of pink.
Yeah, exactly. So you get it.
But if you've got half blue and half pink...
then it's fair. Then that's you can't try.
Oh, okay. Rue's like, very okay, clear. Okay.
Rue, I had a good friend... I had a good friend and he couldn't get his wife pregnant. They were having issues. And so he went to the doctor and they said, oh, we'll have to do a sperm count and that sort of thing. So the doctor said, just go into that room there with the nurse. And so went into the room with the nurse and the nurse said, are you happy to go in the cup? He said, look, I'm good at it, but I don't want to compete just yet.
All right.
Anyway,
well done, girls.
They were the angels.
Thank you.
On Triple M's Ruined Dits for Breakfast, Will Anderson will rock you.
Sing it. Will rock you.
Please welcome Will Anderson.
Good morning, Will.
Oh, good morning, gentlemen. On a high now because the Bulldogs are back. The hangover is over, guys. The hangover is over.
That was the longest hangover of all time.
Well, that's what we do at the Bulldogs. We play well for 6 weeks and then we party for 2 years. Yeah. But we're back.
Hey, you're in the top four. Can you believe it? How does it feel?
I mean, it feels fantastic. It's good to be back. I mean, us and the Saints. I imagine we'll still both be there.
The Saints, Port Adelaide, Brisbane, all on two and zip.
I'm sure this is exactly how the final eight will. You might as well lock in those positions now. Nothing is going to change. I mean, we've got the battle of our traditional rivals, in fact, this weekend, us up against the Gold Coast. So, you know, the long storied history between the Bulldogs and the Gold Coast.
Oh, it's a real rivalry, isn't it?
Mm. Yeah. On Sunday, because the Melbourne Comedy Festival is on at the moment, and my show. It started at 6 o'clock on Sunday night. Mm-hmm. The game finished at 6:03 on Sunday night.
So you were revved up going on stage?
So imagine my day, boys. So I watched the first half at home. So the Bulldogs played pretty well in the second quarter, but they didn't really get very far in front. But I'm like, okay, they're playing pretty well. I've got to get into the venue. So the third quarter was me getting into the venue. I'm watching it on my phone and Hawthorn are just belting us. And so I get into the venue. There's half an hour before I'm meant to go on stage. And I'm like, I've got to be professional. I can't watch the final quarter. I'll be depressed when I go on stage. It won't be a comedy show. It'll be like an In Conversation with Nick Cave. You know, I'll just be doing depressing poems. I'll be remembering 2016. Like, good. And so I turned it off. And then I start getting messages from my mates that just say, are you watching this? And so I'm like, I turn it back on. But we're still 3 goals down at that stage. And then over the next 20 minutes, we just, 8 goals in a row. Mm. And I have never felt better going on stage. Like, I reckon it was one of the best shows I've ever done in my life. In the future, if they say, what do you need backstage for your rider? Mm. I'm just going to be like a bottle of water and I need the Bulldogs to kick 8 goals in a row in the final quarter just before I go on stage.
Beautiful. And you carried on and nailed it out in the on stage, did you?
Well, you know, the funniest thing, Roo, was that my venue not too far from the MCG where the game was. And as I'm walking out on stage, two people are coming in late. And they're both in Bulldogs gear.
Oh, so they have get come them up on stage.
Straight from the game to the front row. And so I said to them, I said, now, did you plan, when you booked the tickets to this show, did you think the Bulldogs were going to win and this would be a celebration? Or did you expect the Bulldogs were going to lose and this would be to cheer you up? And they said, oh, this was going to be to cheer us up. So then we really celebrated. And I said, you're a Bulldogs couple. They've been together 20 years. They said they don't need to get married because they had 2016, which is the most important moment in a Bulldogs relationship. Yeah. And it turned out that she'd changed teams. She had changed from Collingwood because of love. Over to the Bulldogs.
I'm glad you explained changing teams there.
Well, I mean, I think it's actually a bigger crime in Victoria to change from Collingwood than the one you're talking about. Yeah, right. I think that's absolutely fine, but changing football teams.
That's called love.
Is a really big thing.
That's huge. Hey, speaking of Collingwood, how's Ed been the last couple of days? Is he going all right?
I don't know. Is anything been going on in his world?
I don't really know.
I've been busy with the comedy festival. I haven't really
We'll leave it there. All right, mate. Well, keep up the good work. Well, the Bulldogs are back.
They're back, baby. Finals. Hangover's over.
Premierships.
Good on you, Will. Will Anderson here. Cheers, on Triple boys. M. Triple M. Ruined It. The show that was. Now we need to go back in time. The show that was. What have you got, Roo?
We had Trevor Long on, our technical expert, to talk about electric cars. Labor want to have 50% of our cars electric by 2025.
No, not realistic at all. Let's be honest, 10, 11 years to sell 500,000 new cars a year as electric when we're selling 3,000 now doesn't feel realistic to me. I'm not a massive greenie, but I see the need for some form of push towards solar and wind and all those things. But if we're going to have that push, you've got to set a target. Mm. I think it was a stupid target to set in terms of the quantity, but it's a conversation we have to have.
And he drives an electric car.
Yeah.
He just said it is not viable or realistic, the targets that Labor are setting, if they get in at the next election. We had Tex on as well, and he had a bet with Buddy Franklin.
little story from the game. Buddy Franklin owes me a carton of Ruskies.
Oh, Ruskies?
I had a long shot from outside 50. He said, the only bloke on this ground that can kick that far is me.
When you were lining up?
I was lining up and I missed it. And then he was having a set shot and I said, oh, we'll put a carton of beer on it. Actually, no, I heard you like cruisers. No, I heard you like lemon Ruskies, don't you? and I got him. I could see him smirk a little bit, and he messaged me last night and said, I'll send a carton of lemon Ruskies your way.
Nice. Very nice.
Good work.
You got to pay up on your bets.
Yeah, the big boy's having a crack. But easily the most, you know, technical, smart thing we heard on 3 hours of radio today was Alice talking about gender selection.
I think if it's the first couple, just go with nature.
Yep.
But then I totally understand if you have had like 5 boys and you want a girl, then they maybe should make like a technical rule, like you have to have had a certain number of kids, like a 2. Pie graph or something.
A really technical pie graph.
What, all your kids? 4 kids.
Did you want to comment on that?
Nah, I'm just bewildered.
Oh, and it kept going.
So you've got to get out your blue pens and your pink pens, right, to colour in the pie graph.
And if there's too much pink too much blue.
Yeah, you go with the opposite.
But if there's the same.
What a dilemma.
Then. I think we're going to replay that tomorrow. I've got a funny feeling.
I think forever.
Beautiful day outside today. Have a great day. What have we got on tomorrow? It's Dr. Carl will join us. The Metros will join us tomorrow as well. Must be due for a bit of port flavour.
Brad Ebert on Thursday. Yes, we're back on track.
Because we've got a bet that he'll kick more than 40, or you think he'll kick more than 40. I think
so. He's got his 4 from 2 games.
Yep, beautiful. And Alice the Wag is running in to tell us we have also got
His birthday.
It's his birthday. When, tomorrow?
Today. Is it?
When's he coming on, tomorrow or Thursday?
Thursday, Brad Ebert.
All right.
Well organised,
guys.
See you all tomorrow.
Really good finish to the show. Thank you. It's time to go, man.